Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with Steve Todorook. He is an investment executive at Sprott Global Resources, also a geologist. And Steve and I, due to compliance and regulation issues, we are not able to discuss actual companies. But as I think a lot of our listeners know that have been listening to the interviews I do with Steve, we can talk more generally about the sector and maybe different trends in some of the stocks. Now, Steve, just to remind everybody, you are very much focused on exploration and discovery stories. One thing to consider, though, when it comes to discovery plays is that when a discovery is made, the stock does run higher, especially when it's a good discovery, and especially if companies can follow up on those discoveries. Then what we tend to see is people saying, I miss this move. I need to find something else, maybe a related play or a closeology play that can drive the stock higher or that will move higher and benefit off this other discovery. Steve, what do you tell to your clients that are saying, I've missed this discovery, so now I need to look elsewhere?
I don't really agree with that strategy. You know, it might work out, but I'd rather that the investor just sucks it up and pays up for the top quality discovery. At a minimum, you know, if that this new discovery plays out and it does successfully grow into a big high quality deposit that one of the majors wants, you're going to get the takeover premium, which could be 25 to maybe 50%. Usually, sometimes you can get, you know, up to 100%, but 25 to 40% is more common. So I'd be okay with that. You can sleep better than, you know, getting a, you know, junior next door or even, you know, in the same commodity in a different country. usually those companies either have nothing if they're right next to the brand new discovery, or if they've got a deposit, it's probably an old one that's been around for quite a while. It didn't work when it was first discovered or worked by somebody else years later. And, you know, I've referred to those as retread plays. I'd much rather, you know, investors pay up, you know, always try and own the best companies out there. It hurts, you know, knowing you missed it, but if it's good and it's going to work out, you can still make some nice money on it. You're not going to, you know, hit the home run or the 10 bagger, but, you know, profit's profit. And I always like to sleep good at night.
Fair enough, Steven. It is taking at least a little bit of the risk away. But what about timing, investments or purchases with drill programs, follow-up news, any sort of resources the companies are planning on putting out? Do you time anything around those news events?
Not usually. If I'm on top of the play and I get my clients in right out of the gate, right after that discovery announcement, you know, for the most part, I just want to sit back and monitor how the drill results are going. You know, are they continuing to grow bigger and bigger? And then at a certain point, once it looks like it's close to or big enough to, you know, be a potentially economic mine, companies will start doing economic evaluations, you know, PEAs, pre-feasibility study, then feasibility. And, you know, for the most part, I'm, you know, generally monitoring those, but I'm just sitting back. That's part of the process, you know, and ultimately wait for that takeover offer.
So, Steve, what about some of these discovery plays that, look, they're onto a discovery, possibly a tier one deposit, but their market cap of their company is in the billions of dollars. Some people say, well, it limits the amount of buyers, and quite frankly, we're not seeing those big deals done. So takeovers, well, they've been prolonged. You're not getting those takeover premiums right now.
I would say that somewhere between most of the time to the vast majority time, it doesn't matter how expensive the junior, you know, got to. If that's a high quality deposit, there's usually going to be a buyer out there, one of the big companies. You know, there's a couple examples in the silver space right now where, you know, they've acquired or they've, you know, discovered and drilled and delineated top quality deposits. And these two companies are both, you know, sporting near $2 billion market caps. That's pretty rich. They may, you know, build the mines and operate themselves or with their partner and not get taken over. But more times than not, that's the exception.
How about jurisdictional risks that we've seen in some of the recent M&A in the sector? Look, M&A recently has been relatively slow, but some of the deals we have seen haven't been taken all that positively by the market.
Yeah, hot off the press. I don't think I need to mention this name. Everybody should know who they are when I refer to them, but we just had the latest silver company that wants to go gold mining. Silver miner yesterday announced they're going to take over a Canadian junior to acquire their producing, you know, really good quality high-grade gold mine in West Africa. And the market did not like it, you know, for a couple of reasons. The market doesn't mind if a silver company acquires a gold deposit or a gold mine if it's good, because we mostly all know that there's very few good quality silver deposits for the silver miners to build into the next mine. So management doesn't really care that they're mining silver. They just want to mine to make a profit for their shareholders. They're thinking it's the silver bugs that want a silver company or pure silver company. And there's probably four or five examples of silver miners that have acquired, you know, gold mining. Most of them are mining more gold than silver today. But in this deal yesterday, what the market didn't like was in a period where most of the miners are trying to lower their country risk, this company went out and increased it by acquiring a mine in West Africa. And equally as important, probably, there's no synergies. Doesn't make sense. Usually when there's a merger, the bigger company has mines or a country present where they're making the new acquisition. In this case, there's no presence whatsoever. So it's like, you know, why'd you do that? The stock got punished yesterday, down 18%, and it's down a little more. So that's a sign of the times. That sort of says there's very few good quality deposits for the bigger companies to acquire in lower risk countries. You know, so if you've got one of those discoveries, whether it's in, you know, lower risk countries like Australia or Canada, some parts of South America, some parts of the U.S., if a junior's got that new discovery there, it's going to trade at a premium. You know, it's going to be more cherished by the majors.
Well, and that's the thing. They are already trading at a premium, and that's why some people are saying, well, they're just too expensive for these bigger companies to take over, which we all know at any time the large companies can issue a lot of shares and capital for good projects. One thing to note is that recent M&A transaction, that was an all-share deal too. When you see all-share deals when it comes to M&A, does that lessen at least the impact a little bit compared to when there is a cash or large cash component?
I don't think so. You know, usually when you see a big company taking over junior and they're going to offer all shares, the, you know, in a lot of businesses, not just in mining, you tend to see at least a bit of a hiccup in the share price going down briefly while the market digests the transaction. But then usually if management of the big company took them over, did their homework, and they're making a good decision, that should theoretically grow the company, and you start to see the share price recover. You know, in the gold and silver space, we definitely see more takeovers that are all shares versus in base metals, you tend to get more cash-only offers.
Steve, are there any base metal companies, too, that you are seeing that have good discoveries ongoing? I know we can't talk specific companies, but it's one thing that even I've been hearing is that a lot of these large base metal companies, they're not even really looking at takeovers right now. The argument being, if they can still somewhat control the supply side of that market, then maybe copper can run significantly higher past these all-time highs that it just recently touched.
I don't know. I'd sort of say or agree with that. The reason why we're not seeing a lot of the base metal, i.e. mainly copper miners, taking over juniors, there's very little to pick from. There's been no really good high quality copper discoveries that are big enough for BHP or Rio Tinto or, you know, Teck, the other big miners. So if there is one, that's where you want to be. And there is one. You know, the best copper discovery has been made in South America in the last year, and stock's gone from, you know, $1.50 to just broke through $9. It's coming up on $1 billion market cap, and, you know, it's still wide open to grow it bigger. That's something, believe me, it will be on the radar screen of all the big copper miners. It's like they're all saying, they're rubbing their hands. We got something. It looks like we got something coming here. So something like that, it'll be interesting because there's a number of big copper miners and there's only one real good looking copper discovery. Will we have a bidding war there? You know, that's what the investor dreams of. You hit the home run and then you culminate it all by having a bidding war. That's fabulous.
Now, when you look for a copper discovery, then what's critical to you? Because I feel like we already have a handful of copper projects that are de-risked, that do look profitable at current prices, but have a very large upfront cash cost to actually build the mine. What do you look for when it comes to a discovery that could set a project apart from these other ones?
Great. You know, if they all have size, it comes down to great.
So what grade do you like to see then?
Well, I was going to say most big copper miners today at the open pits, they're mining about 0.5% copper. And this new discovery that I've been talking about here, they're getting between 0.7 to 1% copper over really wide intervals. So there's almost twice the grade of what these guys are mining. That should definitely appeal to them. As to backing up just a little before I lose the thought, there's nothing like a really good, call it high grade discovery when the metal price, the commodities, you know, trading at an all time high. As it is with copper, it's like, that's a dream come true as for an investor.
Yeah, it really is. And that's the thing, right? When copper's at these levels, even though I feel like there's just less people paying attention to copper even breaking out to these levels, if you make a discovery, oh boy, you can really run higher on the back of that. But again, we're, I think, few and far between of a lot of copper discoveries, but there's a lot of work going on out there. So hopefully we do see some tier one discoveries made here, but we all know how hard those are to make.
They're far and few between. What I was going to also throw out there is that, yeah, it's giddy out there right now for everybody, including the big mining companies with coming up on $4.50 copper. if the copper mining companies stick to their principles and whatnot, their guns, they're not planning the copper's going to be here or going to $5 or $6 a pound for the next 20, 30 years. It likely is, but big miners should always be looking for quality projects that they can mine at lower commodity prices. Even though the trend might be up, you know, from here going into the future, it's a commodity. It's probably going to be cyclical. We're probably going to get another bear market somewhere down the road, and you never know when that's going to happen. And so these big miners try and acquire higher quality, higher grade deposits that can weather that downstorm, you know, if it's at all possible. So again, going back to, you know, the last 5 to 10 years when a lot of the copper miners, you know, made bad acquisitions and they're cleaning up their act and their house are getting, you know, financially strong. Nobody wants to rush out and be the first to, you know, commit another bad acquisition. So there's still an element of all the miners being gun shy.
Absolutely. There are. And that's why we've seen really kind of slow M&A activity, even when miners have built up some strong cash positions. Steve, great chatting with you. As always, buddy, we'll chat again in another couple of weeks and hopefully we'll have some more news to talk about and hopefully some maybe more positive news for this sector. Steve, have a great rest of your week, buddy.